Stidham hands it off to Damian Harris. Runs it to the right side. Gallops across the 45-50. A foot race. Outrunning Chiefs to the 35-30. Right sideline, 25. Angled out of bounds by Thornhill.
And there's a burst right there. Wow.
Wow, indeed. That was a burst. Damian Harris making his debut and looking pretty good doing it. That was a 41-yard scamper there, part of the drive that led to the only touchdown the Patriots had. Jared Stidham connecting with N'Keal Harry in the end zone. Probably wouldn't have happened there if Harris hadn't brought him over the 50 and deep into Kansas City territory. That is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers, where Ford Truck Month is in full swing with great deals on F-150, Super Duty, and Ranger. Hurry in for the best selection. And joining us right now here on the program from Boston Sports Journal, of course, you can hear him here on Tuesdays with Felger and Maz. Greg Bedard joins us. Greg, let's get started right away here with the big question I think a lot of people are wondering, which is, it seems like it was almost 3 days ago that they were shutting down 93 North and getting these buses to the airport. That was all this morning. And it seemed like at the time there were some players on this team who were maybe a little hesitant to get on that plane. How is everyone sort of feeling about all of that right now? And has it all kind of hit them yet that they just did all this in the span of one day?
Yeah, Christian, I don't think it's really hit them yet. I don't think it will until, you know, maybe the plane ride back home, probably tomorrow. I mean, I don't think people understand what sort of an undertaking this was by the Patriots. I mean, basically to get to the building and get tested, they were probably up at like 5 a.m., get all that stuff done, get on two different sets of buses, go to two different airports, go to KC, go to the hotel, maybe get a little rest. And, you know, and all that entails. I mean, I just think, you know, one of my takeaways from this game was like, I'm even more disappointed that this game went on the way it did, because it looked like nobody wanted to be there on either side. It looked like Patrick Mahomes was at the dentist's office or something. Like he had no interest in being there. And I think the fizzle sort of went out of it for him when it wasn't Cam Newton on the other side. And I think if Cam was there, I think it's a completely different game for both teams, and a much more intriguing game and a better game. And instead, we were robbed of, you know, that kind of showdown, and we were left with basically a Thursday night game. That's what it felt like tonight. And so I'm just disappointed that this is the way it went down.
Yeah, you said it wasn't quite as intriguing as it would have been, and I agree with you there. Without Cam Newton, that makes the Patriots much less interesting. But in terms of the game and it being close, for that first half, what can you say about this defense and the effort that they put out? It was almost reminiscent of that AFC Championship game where they held them scoreless throughout the entire first half.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's no question that they did a great job, and they had a great plan, and a lot of it was what we expected, which was, you know, give the Chiefs looks that invites the run, see if you can hold up, and they did. I thought guys like Lawrence Guy did a great job in the front taking care of that, because you really needed that part. If you didn't stop the run at all, then it was just going to be a blowout for the Chiefs. And I thought they did some nice things mixing up the coverages and all that. And they did do a nice job. But I do think part of the equation of the Chiefs was just the circumstances of the game. I mean, I just don't think you can take, you know, what we saw on the field in a vacuum and say, you know, this was a, you know, the Patriots previously have put together great halves against the Chiefs. Now they put together a great game. I don't know if we can necessarily say that yet. I mean, maybe we can. I don't know. But I just think that if the circumstances were different and there was a little bit more urgency on the behalf of the Chiefs, with say a Cam Newton on the other side and a Patriots offense that was dynamic, then maybe they might be a little bit more inclined to put up a few more points. But I think they just sort of, you know, roped and doped each other and just sort of, you know, dinked and dunked, and there wasn't any sense of urgency. So, but there's no question the defense did a nice job.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, Greg, I know you had a chance to talk to Brian Hoyer after the game, and you basically asked him, hey, when did you know you're going to be the quarterback? And, you know, when did you get the game plan and things of that degree? Did you get any clarity on that? And do you think that had a lot to do with his play tonight? Because let's face it, not knowing that there's a timeout at the end, taking the sack at the end, like, just he was not prepared for a guy who always seems prepared.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, it's a good point, and I did not get clarity. And, even though Stidham sort of laid out exactly what he's been up to, but Hoyer didn't. And that tells me that Hoyer didn't want to give a real answer because it would have come out as an excuse. And he didn't want that because he is a stand-up guy, and he answered all the questions, and he did a great job in the postseason taking, you know, the blame for a lot of what went on. And I think that was the right move, and I think, you know, he did have a rough game. But, you know, do I think Brian Hoyer is that bad, what we saw tonight? No. I think what you saw was a guy who, since probably they broke training camp in front of the media, hasn't gotten very many reps. I mean, Cam Newton's been getting starter reps. Normally that's about, I don't know, an eighth of the reps for a backup. And this wasn't a normal circumstance where normally – you have a quarterback who maybe was hurt the game before and he goes through the week and maybe, you know, he's going to be a game time decision. He doesn't practice. The backup gets the reps, you know, all that stuff. And that just didn't happen. Brian Hoyer looked like a guy who hadn't played much football. I mean, that's why I sent out a tweet saying, like, he looked rusty, because that Hoyer was better in camp than what we saw tonight. And also, I think, and I don't want to make excuses for him, but this sort of wake up early in the morning, travel the day of the game and all that stuff, that's rougher on the older you are. I mean, hell, I have a tough time flying the day of a game and just writing, let alone playing in an NFL football game. And so there's dehydration. There's all this stuff that goes on. And so I think the circumstances were rougher for Brian Hoyer than a lot of the other guys, just given his age. But there's no question he needed to play better, and he did. And really, all he needed to do was take care of the ball better and make better decisions, not even throw the ball that much better, and the Patriots would have had a better chance to win this game.
We're talking with Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal here on the Patriot Shaw's postgame show. There was talk, and I think it was in the pregame show, I believe it was Bob Soucy talking about this, about Jarrett Stidham and the reason why he didn't get the start. And there was talk about his injury, bad hip. There was that knee thing early on in camp. Is that part of the reason why he didn't start tonight, or is that just sort of an excuse being made for him?
No, it's an excuse being made. And I think Ian Rappaport had some tweets to the same effect, that like his hip was a 3 to 4 week or 2 to 3 week injury or something like that. That's just not true. I mean, anybody who was out at practice knows it was about a 2 day injury for Stidham. And then he was out there and he was getting regular reps for the last sort of, I don't know, 10 days of camp or so. And he just did not play well. I mean, that's the bottom line. He did not perform well in camp. And I talked to people around the team, and when I asked them about Jarrett Stidham, you didn't hear much about the injuries, the injury at all. It wasn't a factor in terms of how the team viewed him. And by the end of the training camp, they were down on him. They were disappointed that he didn't really answer the bell and didn't compete more and didn't seem to have a sense of urgency about the position. And the fact of the matter is, he lost to Brian Hoyer again in camp. And so that's where they were.
All right, 617-779-0985 is the phone number if you'd like to jump on with myself, Joe Murray, and now Greg Bedard. We got room for you on the phone lines. We'll be right back here on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.
Now with a third down and 7, shotgun snap to Hoyer, drops back, blitz picked up, a throw down the middle, off the hands of Edelman, and deflected to Olszewski. Pops to his feet and runs it past midfield, and good to Olszewski with the assist from Edelman on the deflection, with a reception tackled at the New England 49.
Patriots converted 21 first downs today. That is another $2,100 donated by Credit Union's Kids at Heart to the Team Jack Foundation to fight pediatric brain cancer and help researchers one day find a cure. More at creditunionskidsatheart.org. Christian Arcan here with you alongside Joe Murray. We are joined on Zoom, sounding crystal clear, by the way. Very, very nice sounding there by Greg Bedard, who is joining us here as well from the Boston Sports Journal. Greg, there were some questionable calls in this game that certainly got everybody on Twitter upset. In
what?
Terms of
no way, really?
In terms
of Patriots game,
it's you wouldn't believe it. But Tony Corrente, I don't know if you saw this. He's been talking about the big play, which was of course the non-fumble/non-interception. Patrick Mahomes in the grasp. They called him down instead of a turnover there that would have gone the Patriots' way. They ended up punting. In terms of egregiousness, how would you say that call was? And were there any other calls tonight that really stood out to you?
Well, they obviously messed up that call. Here's where I sort of stand on the in the grasp rule. I mean, I think it's a good rule, and it's really there to keep the quarterback from getting, you know, killed when the play is really over. Now, that being said, I think Corrente made the wrong call because Mahomes, you could tell, he's still thinking about trying to make a play. Like, it's not like he's tucking the ball and sort of being tugged down by Winovich. He is actively looking to make a play, and I think when the quarterback is doing that, when he hasn't given himself up, then I think you need to let the play continue, and whatever happens as far as injury or whatnot is on the quarterback, because he should have just let the play go. But, you know, look, we see calls like that, you know, a lot, and it's a tough spot. I think these officials, we've seen it early on in the season. They've been holding their flags, and you know, they didn't have a preseason either. And I think there's, you know, we're in this circumstance where we all said sort of normally it's the first four games of the season are an extension of the preseason. Now, with no preseason, it's almost like the first 6 to 8 games are going to be the same way, and that goes for officiating. And so, yeah, it was a rough blow for the Patriots, and they obviously would have liked that play, but they still had plenty of opportunities as the game went on to sort of overcome that.
Yeah, I'd love to throw in the wrangle, the ref angle in this. I don't think the refs had anything to do with it, but do you think that Mahomes does, like, ease up a little bit when he goes out of bounds to try to get those calls? And after the Stidham touchdown, that long drive, there was a penalty there. I mean, I don't want to call Marcus like Smart flop, penalty. But it happened, right?
Yeah, I didn't like the Wise penalty, and I actually thought there was a Patriots play with Mahomes along the sidelines that was a little bit closer. Maybe it wasn't Mahomes. Maybe it was another the Chiefs player. But that one looked like, yeah, it looked like a Marcus Smart flop. That's exactly what it looked like. And I'm surprised he didn't yell like, aye, as he was going out of bounds. But he definitely looked like he acted a little bit there. And I think Dietrich was just sort of trying to hold him up and trying to prevent him going to the ground, and it just Mahomes decided to embellish it a little bit.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. A lot of you waiting patiently to talk to us and the big boy Greg Bedard here, so let's go to Brent in Shrewsbury with a thought on, well, Cam Newton. Go ahead, Brent.
Hey, guys. I might actually save that thought about Cam Newton, because from listening to you guys a little bit earlier...
It's your dime, my friend. Do what you want.
I wanted to ask, did you guys just watch the way Jarrett Stidham ran on the field when it was his time to play?
I can't say I noticed anything. Greg, you notice anything about Stidham running on the field?
No, not really. I mean, I saw him talking to McDaniels before he went out there. But I saw him, it looked like TV got him briefly running out there, but I didn't think anything.
What'd you see, Brent? What'd you see?
Maybe it was just me, but, like, not just that. There was other times, too. I just thought that he kind of went out there. He threw it deep a bunch of times. One of the picks was his fault. One wasn't, but... I don't know. I thought he at least went out there and went for it. Does that make sense? Like, I didn't think he was, like, poised per se, but I think there was some fire there. I wasn't expecting that. But my thought on Cam Newton, like, God bless his recovery. I think, given he's a physical freak and stuff, he's asymptomatic, I heard, which is great. So I think he should be healthy pretty soon. If we start Stidham for Denver, this gave us 2 weeks where Newton wasn't taking hits, which I think is a great silver lining personally.
Well, he's not taking hits because he's not playing. But, yeah, Jarrett Stidham probably going to be your starter there, would you think, for the Denver game, Greg?
I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see how his test results come back, because he has been asymptomatic. And they start testing after, I think, 5 days. And right now he hasn't had a clean test come back yet. But who knows? Maybe tomorrow he does. And
he's talking about Cam or Stidham?
Oh, sorry, I'm talking about Cam.
He's not ruled out
for Sunday yet?
I thought he was ruled out.
No, I don't think so.
Oh,
not
wow,
that
okay.
I haven't heard. So basically the way it works is if you don't have any symptoms, then you could come back as soon as 5 days after you're determined to be positive. And so Saturday, I'm trying to do the timeline. I think he has a chance to be back at practice on Wednesday or Thursday, but he would need Tuesday and Wednesday to come back negative, and then he could be out there on Thursday. But I don't know. I don't know whether that's going to happen. I've known people with this that have, you know, tested positive for weeks. And so we really don't know what's going to happen. I did want to make a point about Stidham. You know, the touchdown pass to Harry was fine, and he's another guy that if I'm going to make sort of the same excuse for Hoyer, I got to make it for Stidham. Like, he's been buried doing scout team reps. Mm. So I think there is – he could be better. But I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I came out of this game thinking that the Patriots need to do some evaluating on what they have. Like, I assume they're gonna elevate Stidham this coming week to be the backup, and he'll take the starter reps until Newton gets back. But I think they need to evaluate that and maybe into the Broncos game, get Stidham some time, because I don't know. I mean, I like some of what I saw tonight. Some of it I didn't. And I think if what we saw tonight from both quarterbacks is indicative of what the Patriots are going to get for the rest of the season, I think they need to think about bringing somebody else in, at least putting them on the practice squad and getting them into the mix, because what we saw tonight is not good enough if you lose Cam Newton for any stretch of time.
Who are you leaning towards starting if it was up to you on Sunday? If it's not Cam Newton, would you go Stidham or Hoyer?
I got to go with Stidham. I got to give him the reps in practice. I want to see what he can do with a full workload, all that stuff. And maybe it looks great. Maybe it looks much improved. But if it's not, if he does get that workload and he does start against the Broncos and it's kind of the same as we saw in this game, and those risky passes are stuff that we've seen in practice and we've seen him in other games, like, you know, the pick six against the Jets last year. I need to evaluate him because I need to know what I have at backup, because right now I don't think it looks very good.
No, I don't think it does either. With that being said, do Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer, barring injury, of course, make it to the end of the year on the Patriots?
I think so. I mean, I think the Patriots, from what I understand, they are very much about, you know, veteran depth and all that stuff. It's one of the reasons why a Corey Cunningham is here and, you know, barely ever active and not playing behind a bunch of, you know, rookies and things like that. It's just he's around just in case the worst happens, which happened tonight with Jermaine Illuminor suddenly getting a migraine
right
in the pregame and he couldn't go, and Justin Heron's out there. So,
yeah, we discussed this a little bit earlier. It doesn't seem like it makes a ton of sense to me in the COVID era to start cutting people, you know, especially
yes, totally
a quarterback
agree.
When you're starting quarterback just yeah.
so,
just
so
came
much
down
for trading Sony Michel, right? Like last week.
Well, yeah, that's yeah. true. We have that Sony Michel work. Who's on IR now, and his replacement Damian Harris with a very, very nice ball game today. What were your impressions of Harris in his Patriots debut, Greg?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought, you know, some of the stuff that you guys have heard us talking about from training camp, I think you saw some of it tonight. I think you saw the burst. And I think in the second half, what you saw out of Harris was more of what we saw in camp, because I thought he got up to the game speed a little bit. I mean, people have to realize, like, I think he only played a very little bit last year. And so it was, and he didn't play a whole lot in the preseason. I mean, he hasn't played much football in the past couple of years. And so for him to get out there and get a full workload, of course, some of his reads weren't great and he wasn't bouncing plays out when it looked like there was room on the outside and things like that. But I thought once he got to halftime, could catch his breath, sort of get up to game speed, I thought you saw what we saw, which is the confidence. This kid, he just has this air about him and this looseness that he knows how to make plays and has this burst and playmaking ability. And I don't think you saw him catch the ball tonight. He's very good at that as well. And so I thought it was a great start for him. And this was sort of like the floor for him. He's capable of a lot more. And what you saw in the second half is more indicative of the player that he is.
Yes, Damian Harris, a bright spot for the offense tonight. Not so bright of a spot for the offense. That would be the play of Julian Edelman. Greg, we'll get to that with you right after the headlines here from Joe Murray.
Short motion by Izzo as Hoyer drops and hands it off to Burkett. Runs straight ahead and cuts it right with a first down and more to the 30. Burkett to the 25, spun around and eventually tackled by Matthew. Another first down run for the Patriots, Rex Burkett.
Nice ground game for the Patriots again today. Second straight game where they looked pretty good running the ball. Stop and Shop has teamed up with Sony Michel for 5 yards for families to donate 5 bags of groceries for every 5 yards rushing today. Patriots had 185 rushing yards. That means Stop and Shop donates 185 bags of groceries to help keep food on the table for families in need. All right, that was what looked good. The running backs looked pretty good in this game. Joe, Greg, I think we can all agree here. Christian Arcan with you. One thing that didn't look quite as good would be the receiving game. Damir Byrd targeted 10 times. Looked like they were really forcing the ball to him there. Hoyer was in the first half. And then there's Julian Edelman, who had 3 catches on 6 targets, 2 big drops, including that pick six, which Jarrett Stidham took responsibility for. I thought that was kind of interesting, considering it hit Edelman right in the hands. What's up with Julian Edelman this year, Greg?
Yeah, I actually don't think what we've seen so far is outside of tonight has been that out of the norm for him. He's always been, and even Wes Welker when he was here at that position, drops have been an issue. I mean, you know, look, the drop that Edelman had in the Titans playoff game looms large, and I think you start to see that when a player starts to age and has physical issues. And he's another guy, again, not to make excuses for some of these guys, but he's an older guy that this type of trip is going to be tough on them. And they have a tough enough time, especially Julian. I'm not even including Hoyer in this, but for his position and what he's been through, and we've already seen that he's, you know, beat up and barely making it through some of these games through, you know, week 3, it's hard for him to get his body tuned up and ready to go. And that's in a perfect world where you got to remember Seattle, they went out a day early on that trip. And so they were able to sort of take their time and get ready. And now, you know, this trip, they go all in one day. I mean, that's tough for Julian Edelman. They're used to getting there the day before and getting a good night's sleep and, you know, getting treatment and all this stuff. And today just was completely out of whack. And I think for the older guys, especially Julian Edelman, that's really tough. And so he had a rough game. There's no doubt. But he's better than that. And for me, it's either one of two things. Either he's really just beat up in general and he's having a tough time, or the trip compounded everything, and that's sort of where I am right now, and I'm not overly worried about him, but I will be if we come back from the bye week and he's not better.
Just to add to that, Ryan Izzo, no catches, 3 targets. I know he's fine out there blocking. Both quarterbacks tried to throw to him tonight. When are they going to make a move to Devin Asiasi? Like, when is that going to finally happen?
It's a great question. I don't know. I mean, I know Devin Asiasi's name is not on the tips of everybody's tongue around the team. He has not, you know, answered the bell. It seemed like he was priming for a little bit of an increased role this week because he played more last week. Was actually open a couple times, but Cam Newton had trouble seeing the field and didn't see him open a few times. For whatever reason, he hasn't grabbed a role on this team. And there's a reason for that. If the team thought he was ready, they would have him out there. And they know what they have in Izzo. He's fine. He's an average NFL tight end. But they need better if they're going to be a good offense. And right now, Asiasi is not an option. Hopefully, you know, one of these weeks, maybe coming out of the bye, they can get him ready. But they're going to need him, like, soon.
We're talking with Greg Bedard here, Boston Sports Journal. Greg, it's almost time, so before we let you go, I had a question for you about not the last drive by the Patriots, but the second-to-last drive after the pick six. Patriots get the ball at the 25-yard line, just under 9 minutes left to go in the game. They were within 2 scores. It was 26-10. Not likely that they were going to come back, but what was your take on the play calling during that drive? It seemed like they were really content to just let time tick right off there with a lot of running plays, and I found myself, and I heard Zolak on the broadcast as well, really wondering what was going on there.
Yeah, I think it's fair to bring up. I mean, I'm looking at it, so that's with under 8:48 when they started that drive, and they had 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, they had about 4 or 5 runs on there. I took that as a couple things. Well, I think it was, number one, not a great vote of confidence for Jarrett Stidham and what he was prepared to do in this game. I think if they thought he was ready to sling it all over the yard, they would have done that. Maybe the near interception that he had earlier kind of spooked them a little bit, you know, on the penalty. And I also think that the Patriots were looking at a situation where, all right, they're down 16 points at that time, and there's, you know, 9 minutes left. I think they thought their best course of action was to be methodical, score, get a stop, and then score. They didn't want a quick strike because they thought the game was going to get away from them. I think they thought their best chance to win the game was to have to control the clock, get it under to about, you know, 4 or 5 minutes, score, then stop with timeouts, and then get the ball back and try to tie the game.
What'd you think of the Stidham pick there at the end of that, going to Damir Bird? Fenton picked him off there, sort of undercutting on that deep throw. What'd you think of that ball, and was that just sort of a desperation heave at that point?
No, it wasn't a desperation heave. It was the correct read. It was a bad pass, and it was late. So I didn't think it was good. It's part of the reason why I'm not overly enthusiastic about what I saw from Stidham. Again, I think circumstances kind of dictated that, so I'm not going to make any sweeping judgment off of this game, especially with him. But the play was there. He just, if he led Damir Bird more, that's a touchdown. And instead, he threw sort of a balloon ball and let the defensive back catch up, and you just can't make that throw there.
No, you certainly can't, and that ended up being the last chance the Patriots really had there. They lose to the Chiefs by a final of 26-10. Greg Bedard, thank you so much for the insight and for joining us here tonight. Are we going to hear from you tomorrow?
No, Wednesday I will be on Felger Mass.
A big boy Wednesday. All right, moving everything over a day. Sounds good. All right, Greg, thank you so much. We'll talk to you. We'll hear from you on Wednesday. Get some sleep.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. That's Greg Bedard there of the Boston Sports Journal joining us here on Patriots postgame. Coming up next, we'll have our game recap as Jeremy Conley back there working very, very hard to bring you all the highlights. Highlights? Well, it was Howie actually doing this. And we'll have that for you when we come back right here on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.